Blessed Resurrection Day to you. Last week, as we were together in this congregation, we remembered the crucifixion of our Christ and the events that took place there from the cross. As Jesus was hanging there dying, at the ministry that he extended to those around him, not just thinking about his own execution, which would have been enough. Would have been too overwhelming for any of us to take on the guilt and the shame and the sin of all the world, and yet to find time to be able to extend the opportunity for forgiveness in those words, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Also to be able to look to his mother, who was about to be a widowed mother without believing children, because up to that point, his brothers and sisters did not believe it would be after his resurrection. So he entrusts his mother to the care of the Apostle John. He's thinking of her and her future. And then, of course, we talked about the repentant thief who hung there next to Jesus and his plea to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me." And Jesus responds to him saying, "Truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." What an incredible blessing that Jesus extended, not only on that day, but listen, he continues to extend those blessings to us today. This is why the resurrection is so important. When he looked like a victim, he was really a victor. In those hours on the cross, he was taking care of our business. And he was doing it to the satisfaction of the Father, and that is why he would be raised to life. And that's what we celebrate this morning, is the resurrection. I'd like for us to go to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24. Verses 1 through 12 for our text for this morning, as we consider that first resurrection day. If you'll stand with me at this time as we read this passage out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. He writes, "But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, these men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. And then they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now, these women were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. Also, the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. And these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at that which had happened." Let's pray together. Father, as we sit in your presence this morning, I pray that we will be attuned to your voice as you speak into our lives. Thank you, Father, for already reminding us through song and prayer, through the opportunity to give, Lord God, through this time in the Word, that you continue to speak into our lives if we will listen. I pray, Father, that we have ears that hear this morning. For those in this place that are coming because it's a holiday and coming because someone invited them, maybe not even knowing why they're here, I pray today, Father, that your Spirit would give insight. That, Lord God, they would experience what it truly means to know the God who has given his Son that we might have forgiveness. And that, Father God, that life that he raised him up from the dead is the life that he desires to place in us. Father God, may this particular resurrection day be a special day for all in this place. Draw us near to you as we incline our hearts to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's be seated. Thank you for standing. As Luke writes, it is a chapter 24 and a beginning of a verse, but it really is a continuation of the previous chapter. In verse 50 of the previous chapter, we find that there was a man who was in the crowd that day, and his name was Joseph. He had been a member of the council, the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of that time. And he was attentive to what God was doing through Christ. If you notice, the passage said he had not consented to their plan and action. He was a man who was waiting for the kingdom of God. And so when Christ's life had vanished from their eyes, he went to Pilate, Pontius Pilate, who had granted opportunity for them to crucify Jesus, and he requested that he could take the body of Jesus. The purpose in this was so that he could take care of it. He knew that most criminals that were cast there were thrown on a pile and burned. He wanted Jesus to be buried appropriately. He gave his own family tomb that was nearby the cross. And he took time to do what he could to make sure Jesus' body was prepared. It was the day before the Sabbath, and evening was coming when they would have to shut all things down. And so he was doing as quickly as he could what he could for the body of Christ. John's gospel tells us that Nicodemus, one who'd come to Jesus in the middle of the night in John chapter 3 to inquire and ask questions about eternal life, also was converted at some point and joined Joseph in making sure Jesus' body was taken care of. Well, this passage tells us that it was preparation day, the Sabbath about to begin, so the women who'd come with him out of Galilee also followed. They saw the tomb and how the body had been laid out, and they returned so they could go back to their homes in the meantime to prepare spices and perfumes, and then they rested on the Sabbath according to commandment so they could come back on this first day of the week. Their desire was to continue to minister to the needs of Christ in his death. He had ministered to them in his life. They thought it appropriate to be attentive to him. And so in the early dawn on that first day of the week, they came bringing those spices they prepared. But they found the stone that was before the tomb to be rolled away. This was the custom so that animals could not come in and eat or drag the bodies out. And it would also be so that tomb grave robbers could not come in, take things. But they sealed the grave with a stone that they rolled over the front of the tomb. Now, something about this in the background, the Jewish leaders had remembered that Jesus had said, "You tear down this temple, the third day it'd be raised up." They feared that his disciples would do something to help manipulate that prediction, and so they asked for a guard to be brought who would be there before that tomb so that no one could come and steal the bodies. So it was a surprise to these ladies. As you look at all of the gospel accounts, all of them mention the tomb, all of them mention the stone that's in front of the tomb as being rolled away. All of them give testimony to the fact that the stone was not in front of the tomb anymore. Now, some might say, well, that was so that Jesus could get out. No. Jesus had a glorified body upon his resurrection that was different from this body. We'll talk about that a little bit more, but that body was such that it could pass through inanimate objects and it can move wherever it wanted. One day, when you and I are glorified, if you're in Christ, you're going to have the same kind of body. It's going to be a body that'll travel through space. In fact, from the resurrection point where Jesus comes in the clouds of the sky to call all those that belong to him to come, somehow we're going to be able to fly right out of the grave, get a body, and fly up into the air to meet him and be with him forever. Now, I don't know about you. I can't do that right now. But the Lord's going to make it happen one day. I believe him. It says it in the Word. It's confirmed. And Jesus had that kind of body upon his resurrection. And so he rose up early that day, according to Scripture, and the stone was rolled away, more likely by an angel, according to Scripture, so that believers could look and see it and have their faith confirmed. This is why the tomb was opened, so that those disciples could come and see that he was no longer there. In fact, that is what we find this angel. It says two men in Luke. Mark's gospel also says men. But in the gospel of Matthew and John, we find that these men that they thought were men were actually angels, attending angels, messengers of God who were ministering. The angels had been active in the birth of Christ, in his conception, the birth of Christ, announcing to the shepherds in the fields. The angels were there to give instruction to Joseph as to where he was to take the child and the mother through that course of those early years. Angels continued to be attentive to Christ when he was baptized after his baptism, he went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And you know that those angels ministered to him there. The angels were attentive to Christ all the way through. And upon his resurrection, it was their delight and privilege to be able to announce, the one that you're looking for among the dead, he's not here, because he's a living one. In fact, I love that these angels tell them, look, he's not here. Remember how when back in Galilee he told you he was going to be taken by wicked men and he was going to be crucified and then he'd be raised up the third day? Do you remember that? The scripture says the women remembered. The words before this, when they saw these two men in dazzling clothing, was that they were terrified. They bowed down with their faces to the ground. They were overwhelmed with fear. But it doesn't take long for this news to transform that fear and that terror into joy and hope, transformation, boldness to go and to tell those disciples who are probably going to laugh at them because women shouldn't be talking. Don't some of you guys be thinking what you're thinking. Scripture gives us this information that women were important. These were the ones that were attentive, coming to minister to him, and they would be the first ones to go and tell those disciples. In fact, another testimony tells us that Mary was in the garden. She would not leave, and Jesus met her there in the garden. She was the one to be able to see Jesus first. She thought he was the gardener. Where have you put Jesus? Mary, I'm he. So she was the first one. The women were told to go tell these disciples, and they did. They were filled with boldness and excitement. They were joyous, and they ran back to where the disciples were hiding out. Listen, they'd scattered. If any of them stayed anywhere close to the crucifixion, they did it from a distance. Mom and John were really the only ones we have any kind of evidence in Scripture that they were somewhere near. Nearby was Mary, the mother of Jesus, and John was attending to her. Everybody else had scattered for fear, hiding themselves in locked doors. Why? Because their master had been killed by the religious leaders and the Romans. Surely they'd be coming after them pretty soon. So they were fearful. But when these ladies came, I'm sure one of the testimonies of these ladies was, an angel was there, said the living one's not among the dead, and remember how he told us this was how it's going to be. And so they were excited. Let me tell you something. That's why this pastor will tell you, read your Bible. Every single day that you can, read something out of God's Word, because God wants you to be remembering at points through your life. When you come to that valley, when you come to that storm, when you come to that difficult decision, you'll remember what He has said to you in the past. That is His ministry to us. We should not miss out on it. Remember, we can only remember if we've heard. Let Him speak into your life. Get into your Scripture daily. Let the Lord bless you. These ladies remembered. And they not only remembered and said, "Ooh, we'll keep this to ourselves," they ran back to share this good news. So they remembered and they ran back and they told. And Mark's gospel says they refused to believe. We find the very same thing here. They weren't believing. They would not believe them in verse 11. They thought it was nonsense. Do you know that if you were ever to go tell somebody about Jesus, and I hope you have, that some of them might look at you like you're crazy. There might be somebody sitting in this place right now and you're saying, y'all are crazy to believe this stuff. This is fairy tale stuff. Then how do you explain transformed lives? How do you explain my life at a 19-year-old, full of myself, prideful, self-sufficient, able to do all things, very independent, dependable? My bosses would call me at all hours to come and work because they knew they could depend upon me. Well, I was proud of that. But I didn't have Jesus. And when my younger brother confronted me and he said, "Robert," he said, "I love you enough to tell you this. You're a sinner. The Scripture says that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But if you don't have Jesus in your life when you die, you will not go to be with God in glory. You will go to a place that Jesus identified as hell. A place that will be a place of torment and a place of regret and a place of suffering, a place of separation." And I didn't believe him right away. I said, "You're nuts. You're a cussing little, thieving little, no good for nothing. How can you tell me? I'm the good son in the family. I'm the polite one." I'm serious. I was full of myself. But the Lord opened my eyes down the road and I remembered. what the Lord had said through my brother, and my heart was changed. And now God's got me preaching in front of a bunch of people I don't even know, some of you. You know what God can do? He can do immeasurably more than we can imagine or think. And that's what He wants to do through us. Those who believe, listen, He's put a message inside of you because He's put Himself inside of you. And His desire is for us to go and to declare to all who do not know. They may say you're full of nonsense, that's no good. Your job's not to determine how they respond. Your job is to tell. That's what He's called us to. These women obeyed that mandate by these angels, and they ran back and they told those disciples. Said, don't y'all remember? Remember what He told us? He's alive. And later we find out that their lives were indeed transformed. Initially, they didn't believe. It took that evening in John's gospel when Jesus came into their appearance. They were behind locked doors, and Jesus just appeared before them. That glorified body I was telling you about, He went right through locked doors. Scared them. They thought He was a ghost. He said, I'm not a ghost. Touch me. I'm flesh. See where I have, my scars are? Touch them. Bring me some food. I'll eat with you. Whatever it takes. He spoke with them words of kindness. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Jesus was the same Jesus, except He was now glorified. He was their Lord. He was alive. And He said, I want you to go, and I want you to wait until the Holy Spirit falls on you. And you're going to be filled with power, and you're going to be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And the book of Acts is really the book of the acts of the Holy Spirit that worked through the lives of the apostles as they walked in obedience, loving obedience to their Lord who showed them what real life was all about and had given them a message that no matter who might try to kill them, they were going to get that message out. Look, they went right back to the same people who had killed their Christ. They went right back into the same city, faced those Pharisees who'd taken Jesus to the side and crucified Him on a hill, and they boldly faced them. They were not afraid of death. It was a message worth dying for. And many of them did. But it was true. That's a transformation. That doesn't just happen to us. If you really want to get technical, the Apostle Paul, that we so endearingly love because of about half of the New Testament in the back, the epistles are written by him. You know that his name was Saul of Tarsus. He was a persecutor of the church. He hated the Christians. He chased them down. He had papers from the Jews to go and find all the Christians he could and have them killed because of their faith. And Jesus met him on the road to Tarsus. He said, Lord, is that you? Jesus said, yeah, Paul, Saul, what do you think you're doing? Now you're going to follow me. And Saul had no choice, really. His eyes were blinded. He had to follow the group back into Tarsus, and a man who was a believer was assigned by God to go and lay his hands on Saul so he could see again. And he was scared, said, Lord, this is Saul. This guy's been killing everybody. No, I've appointed him. He's from now on, he's going to tell everybody about me. And that's exactly what happened. Saul gives his own testimony saying, I've been shipwrecked, I've been beaten, I've been stoned, I've been left for dead. People have hated me. Jews and Gentiles alike have come against me. But I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to continue to tell everybody I can. I'm going to run the race, I'm going to stay the course, and I'm going to finish this fight until He takes my last breath. That's a life transformed. And then the multitudes of people throughout the ages who have been transformed. You think about our calendar. Jesus' presence in this world affected the calendar. Now, you might want to say, well, there's no more B.C. and A.D. That changed. Of course things change because we live in a culture that likes to change things. But Jesus Christ, before Jesus came, there was a certain world. And then at the year of the Lord, when He came, things were different. And even if you go before that, you might say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, Jesus was present in the creation. And what does the Scripture say about creation? God created the world in 6 days. Literal days, I believe. Some of you say hockey. But 6 days, and then the seventh day rested. What kind of calendar do we live by? What's your week like? Is it 7 days? Is it 6 days of work, 1 day of supposed rest? That Creator has impacted us. Christ has impacted us. When you see hospitals, charity organizations, when you see educational institutions, they all started as Christian institutions. You know why? Because God put it in the hearts of Christians to do the right thing and the good thing and to help each other. Those things are not there by accident. They're not there because some like-minded moral person put them together. God moved them to do it. Jesus has impacted the world. And some of us might choose not to be impacted by him. But let me tell you, he's still alive. He's still doing his work. This morning that we talk about, this first morning where Jesus is discovered to be alive, he's alive today. He continues to be alive today. All four Gospels reveal and record the death and the resurrection of Jesus. All four record the fear that held those disciples captive until Jesus revealed himself to them. That they were stunned and shocked when Jesus showed himself to them. This was not concocted. This was not some manipulated thing. They didn't formulate this story. God did. And they were simply following after it. Jesus said it was all going to happen ahead of time before it happened. The testimony and the writings of the apostles and the apostle Paul. And especially the record that we have in Scripture. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 15 for just a second. If you have your Bible, I encourage you to turn it there. Or turn on your phone and turn it there. The apostle Paul wrote, this is not his doctorate, but it is a thesis of sorts. On the resurrection. If you have any questions about resurrection, look at 1 Corinthians 15. Read what God had to say through the apostle about resurrection. In verse 3, we find Paul writing, I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and that Old Testament Scriptures told about it, that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day according to Scripture. This is all recorded ahead of time, so that when it appears and it happens, we'd believe. He appeared to Cephas, the 12, the 500, appeared to James, he appeared to the apostles, and then he appeared to me, Paul says, also, as a man born out of time. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself to every believer of that day so that they would be confirming in their heart that Jesus was indeed alive. He didn't go to Pilate. He didn't go to King Herod. He didn't go to the magistrates. He didn't even go to the Pharisees. He went to believers. And then he said, now go and make disciples. Those who are not believers, tell them about me so that they can know the resurrection's real and it can impact their lives. And that's exactly what we find here. Paul goes on to talk about this resurrection, verse 12 through 19, it's hypothetical, but he says, how can some of you say that Jesus has not been raised from the dead? And then he gives a list of things. If Jesus has not been resurrected, then Christ would not be resurrected. The preaching of the gospel would be meaningless. Faith in Christ would be worthless. Preachers who are witnesses are liars. All men would still be in their sin and would be hopeless. All former believers who have died are eternally gone and have no place to go. And Christians are the most pathetic people on earth. I would say that some people have that opinion already. But I love verse 20 because it is a holy but in Scripture. With all of that being said, Paul writes, but now Christ has been raised. With confidence, he writes, he's been raised from the dead, who's the first fruits of all of those who are asleep. He was the first down payment upon all the rest who will follow him by faith. That we too would be able to be raised up with him. The Apostle Paul would talk about that a little more in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, passage I use at graveside, where he talks about Jesus coming in the clouds of the sky and bringing with him all those who belong to him. Earlier, Paul had written in 2 Corinthians saying that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When a believer dies, his soul goes to be with the Lord. His very life goes to be with the Lord. That body is buried, and there's coming a day, according to Scripture, when Jesus will come in the clouds of the sky, bring with him all of those souls that have gone to be in his presence upon their death, and he'll shout a shout of victory, and he'll call up. The dead in Christ will be raised up first. The Scripture says it's going to happen in that order. Christ was raised first, then the dead in Christ will be raised, then all of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together. And he said it'll happen in the twinkling of an eye, as fast as you can blink your eye. That's how fast this is going to happen. And those who are in the graves will be stirred up, and somehow they're going to be given a glorified body, as we mentioned a moment ago, that'll be able to go up into the air, be reunited with that soul, and that person will be with the Lord forever in that condition. That glorified body will be with the Lord forever. You might say, well, how in the world can that be? He describes it as you go down through this passage of Scripture. Verse 35, how are the dead raised? What kind of body do they come back with? When you go plant a seed, when the plant grows, it's not just a seed. It's not a giant seed that grows. You put a seed in the ground, you get a watermelon. You put a seed in the ground, you get beans. Now, inside the pods, you may have some beans, but they look different. You know what? You and I, we're put in the ground. We're going to be put in the ground in these old bodies, but we're going to come out different. We're going to be put in natural, but we're going to come out supernatural. We're going to be put in perishable, where we decay and we decompose, but we're going to come out and we're never going to decay again. These old bodies that hurt in the morning when you groan, some of you know what I'm talking about? You're never going to groan again. We've been studying the Revelation. I know this. There's no more curse. Hallelujah. No more pain. No more tears. No more sin. Nothing to tear us down. Only life. Why? Because Jesus has been raised from the dead. And because of that, it gives us every bit of hope for which to live. Believers, you've been assigned to take this great message of hope that has changed your life, that has given you assurance for more than just this life. He has given you also a message to tell others so that they might be saved. Now listen, for those in this place, and you're not sure whether you belong to Jesus, let me tell you this. Lord Jesus died not because he was forced. Isaiah chapter 53, there's a passage there that tells us, it pleased the Father to crush this Savior, to put him to grief, to render himself as a guilt offering. A couple of weeks ago in a discipleship course, we heard the theologian say it this way: God put Jesus to death so that he wouldn't have to put you to death. If you go to face the Lord God on your own merits, on your own righteousness, your own works, you will fall short. Go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, and you read that. Everybody who will try to get to heaven on their own are going to fall well short. The only ones that enter into a relationship with the Lord and live forever are those that have been covered by the blood of Jesus. May you find it today to be your commitment to trust Jesus as your Savior, to be covered by His blood, that death that He died on the cross to apply to you, that resurrection to bring to you life eternal. It begins now, but also has the assurance of a promise after this life is done. I pray that you would trust the Lord today. We're going to have opportunity to respond here in just a moment. Listen, Jesus was dead, but now He's alive. Dead because of our sin and His great mercy towards us. Instead of putting that judgment on us, He took it in our place. But He is alive because of His great power and His great love for us. So my question is, do you know Him in this great power and love? If you don't, this morning could be the best Easter you've ever had, where you would have life eternal. If you do have it, let's commit to tell others about Him. He's alive. Remember what He said. I'm going to be raised up. And guess what? He is. Hallelujah. We have much to celebrate. We have much to declare. May this morning we find ourselves committed to Him. In just a little bit, we're going to be eating at this table. It is the Lord's. It is not First Baptist Church table. It is not the pastor's table. It's not this church's table. It is the Lord's table. And when we come to this table, it is between you and God. As you eat of this bread and drink of this juice, that you have identified with Him in your conversion experience, knowing that His body was killed in your place, that His blood was spilled so that you could be washed of your sin and cleansed. We're going to read a passage of Scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote in the 1 Corinthian letter before we take of those elements. But I want us to have opportunity now to respond. Should you kneel at the altar, come have prayer with the pastor, we're going to take some time to respond. So let's bow together, and then we'll do that. Father, as we humble our hearts before You, we thank You for the privilege that it is to be in this place on this special day. And Lord God, we thank You for the great news of the resurrection. Thank You for the crucifixion of Christ. Thank You for His birth and sending Him in the incarnation. All of those things are marvelous, but they would fall short without His resurrection. Thank you for that resurrection, that life that overcomes death, our greatest enemy. Lord God, may we find ourselves living by the power of that life today and into eternity. Help us to commit ourselves to you in this hour as we prepare our hearts for these elements. In the name of Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord, we pray. Amen.